ultimately, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how, but we can decide how we meet that end. In order that we are remembered as men.
Well, 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 here we are, episode 58 of Sean Hammer. Today, the weekend, what I've been doing, it gets a little short because I have not been doing very much at all. I took third place in a HeroClix sealed box tournament. Yay! got the Kryptonite pieces and the Superman Beyond piece I wanted. So that's pretty damn sweet. Let's see. Anything else going on? Nope. No White Dwarf yet. Probably came out today. Didn't go to the store and get it. Not much. I checked out the new Games Workshop Dreadfleet. That's the new board game they put out. You know, the big surprise, kind of like Space Hulk. But being a naval combat game set in the Warhammer fantasy world. So let's see. I haven't done much. I'm a freaking slacker. But I have been, prior to this, working on a new army. His new army is, if you couldn't guess it from the title, if I did post it on there or not, ogres. Now, I didn't intentionally mean to get an ogre army. I traded some Bretonians for some Dogs of War for Jason, a buddy of mine. And I had a unit of Lead Belchers that I was using my Dogs of War, and he had a unit of Iron Guts, and a large unit of one unit of just regular ogre bulls. And so, a little bit later, one thunder tusk and one box of ogre bulls later, I got a substantial little force I'm going to try and put out. And today, you guessed it, we will be going over Ogre Kingdoms. Okay, first and foremost, I've been looking at army books that Fantasy's been putting out. The hardcover's growing on me and stuff. Unfortunately, this book for the ogres lacks some content on the inside. It could be thicker. Pages are nice. A little bit more fluff and know-how about where the ogres came from would be nice. And it goes over brief, but not as well as it should. A lot of people are upset by the White Dwarf Sisters of Battle Codex. I would say that this could have been a Warhammer Fantasy Battles White Dwarf army book. It doesn't hold a lot, but I guess it is what it is, and I'm holding it in my hands, and I'm going to play it. So, here we go. We'll go through the book. We'll go over army special rules, units, my thoughts on some, and how exactly I'm going to run my Ogre Kingdom army. And see what you guys think. If you think I'm full of shit and I should do something else, give me a ring back. Leave me a message at SeanHammer, the number 9 @yahoo.com. If you like what I've done, you say, Sean, I didn't think of that. That's pretty cool. Check it out. But here we go. Army special rules. They have the ogre charge. Almost everything has ogre charge. Basically, it's impact hits of 1. When you're rolling to calculate the charge range, if 2 of the highest dice score a 10 or more, each ogre inflicts D3 impact hits instead of 1. Pretty sweet. And so that's pretty cool. We got the Iron Fist. That's it. The gauntlet hand that they have. It acts the same way as a shield. An ogre using Iron Fist benefits from its armor save and may be eligible to take parry saves as described in the Warhammer rulebook. And let's see. In addition, Iron Fists have specifically developed to allow the ogres as much freedom as possible to fight. It benefits from all the rules from shields, including a parry save, even if mounted. I wish it still had plus one attack too, because I don't know, it'd be pretty badass. That's all I'm gonna say. They have lookout nobblers, allow standard bearers, basically a lookout sir rule. And this is an upgrade you can buy on a lot of stuff for Golver. We have some new ogre special weapons. We have the chain trap, which is going to be a range 12, strength 6, killing blow weapon. A harpoon launcher, which is 36 inches, strength 6, mover fire, doing multiple wounds of D3. It doesn't apply if the model is mounted on a stonehorn or a thunder tusk. The mover fire doesn't apply. We have ogre pistols, which are strength 4, 24 inches, armor piercing, quick to fire, and a brace of ogre pistols, armor piercing, quick to fire, multiple shots, 2, strength 4, range 24. It's got a little thing about bellowers and musicians. Bellowers are musicians for every intents and purpose. They might just not have a horn or whatever as being a musician, but they count as a musician. Then that's it for the army special rules. We go into the tyrants. And I'll just go over a little bit of special rules, what they have. Then I'll go over stats and, I don't know, in the back when we go over points. Okay, we got the tyrants for your leader. Well, we'll go over that later. Okay, I'll just jump out on anything that goes through. Okay. Well, let's go. We have tyrants. These are your leaders for your ogre tribes. They're monstrous infantry. They fear an ogre charge. They're weighing in at probably 450 pounds. Sorry, bad joke. Movement 6, weapon skill 6, ballistic skill 4, strength, toughness, and wounds 5. 4 initiative, 5 attacks, and leadership 9. We got the bruisers, which is the smaller versions on the hero levels. They're movement 6, weapon skill 5, ballistic skill 3, strength, toughness 5, wounds 4, 3 initiative, 4 attacks, leadership 8, going in with the whole special rules and troop choices. We have the slaughtermaster and the butchers. Okay, well, they're coming in at basic ogre stats, but higher toughness though. Wounds 5 for your slaughtermaster and 4 for butcher. Let's see, magic. Butchers and slaughter masters are wizards and use Lore of the Great Maw, the Lore of Heavens, the Lore of Beasts, or the Lore of Death. However, if you field any butchers and or slaughter masters in the army, at least one of them must choose lore spells from the Lore of the Great Maw. So it's pretty cool. It doesn't limit you to having nothing but Lores of the Great Maw. They got immune to poison. They don't automatically wound butchers and slaughter masters, and they must always roll the wound. They have the fear and ogre charge. My favorite mage character so far in Warhammer 8th edition is the Firebelly. This is a new unit for the ogre kingdoms. This is a ogre wizard, fire wizard. Let's see, he's got 6 movement, 3 weapon skill, 2 ballistic skill, strength 4, toughness 5, 4 wounds, 2 initiative, 3 attacks, and leadership 7. He's got the monstrous infantry, so he still has the fear and ogre charge, plus he has flaming attacks, and we'll get to that in a second. Fire bellies are wizards and use the lore of fire. Now, if that wasn't cool that you could have a fire-wielding ogre, you know, they pop out those regenerating creatures and or mummies or whatever you want to think of, or a treekin and shit like that. They also had the Blessing of the Volcano God. This grants the Firebelly a 4+ ward save against any attacks that have flaming attack special rule. That's pretty cool. And if that wasn't, you know, the best, all Firebellies have a strength 4 breath weapon with flaming attack special rule. So it's pretty universal. And when we go over points, it's really not that shabby as for a level character that way. Next up, we have Hunters. Hunters. The thing I don't like about them is they're loners. Can never be the general army. Army general. They have the Great Throwing Spear, range 12, plus 1 strength, quick to fire. But they have a new upgrade called the Blood Vulture. This is a 36-inch range, strength 4, ignore covering, quick to fire vulture that launches from its arm. Pretty cool. And the kit for the Stonehorn and Thunder Tusk. It's pretty cool. I put it on my Thunder Tusk just because I like. Think it's pretty cool. I have a freaking bird on something. We have the Saber Tusk packs. Well, these are units now instead of being upgrades to the hunter or whatever. These are war beasts with 8 movement, 4 weapon skill, no ballistic skill, Strength, toughness of 4, 2 wounds, 4 initiative, 3 attacks, leadership 4. They got the one, they cause fear. They got running with the pack special rule. If a hunter joins the unit of Sabertooth, then he has a swift stride special rule for as long as he remains within the unit. In addition, if the hunter deploys as part of Sabertooth's pact, both he and the pact have the Vanguard special rule. They also have their master's voice. Sabertooth's packs cannot be joined by other characters other than hunters. Let's see. They don't benefit from General's Inspiring Presence, Battle Standard Bearer, Hold Your Ground special rules. Next, we have the regular Ogres. They're coming in with Fear and Ogre Charge. They have a Crusher, which is a unit champion that just allows them one more attack. They got Movement 6, Weapon Skill 3, 2 Ballistic Skill, 4 Strength, 4 Toughness, 3 Wounds, 2 Initiative, 3 Attacks, and Leadership 7. Not looking at the largest amount of leadership or initiative on this army, if you've caught it already. And I think it's done purposely to sell models, but I'll get to that. we have the Iron Guts. Let's see, Weapon Skill 3, Movement 6, Ballistic Skill 2, Strength, Toughness 4, Wounds 3, 2, Initiative 3, Attacks, Leadership 8. They're Monstrous Infantry. They have the Fear Ogre Charge. Lead Belchers, same thing, but with Leadership 7. They have the Lead Belcher Gun. They got the Ogre Charge and the Fear. The Lead Belcher Gun is a range 24, Strength 4, Armor Piercing, Multiple Shots, D6, and Slow to Fire, which means that you're not using this on a stand to shoot, but you can shoot it every turn. In addition, with rolling the hit with the Lead Belcher Gun, ignore the hit modifiers for moving and shooting and for multiple shots. So that's pretty cool. So we're not looking at one thing I can see with the Lead Belchers right now. They took away that once you shoot that you can't shoot again until you reload, and they also have taken away the misfire charts because you're just doing D6 shots with Lead Belchers. So that's pretty good, nice little increase. We have Man Eaters, which I think are for the ogre size unit, the stars of this book. They have a Movement 6, Weapon Skill 4, Ballistic Skill 4, Strength 5, Toughness 4, 3 Wounds, 3 Initiative, 4 Attacks, Leadership 8, and you give a Captain, boosting the attacks up to 5. They have Fear, Ogre Charge as well. They have a special rule that's been there, done that. When selecting unit Man-Eaters, you note down on the roster sheet 2 different special rules from a list of things that you can pick for your Man-Eater. So your Man-Eaters can have special rules each game if you wanted to. Some of the 2 rules you can pick are Immune Psychology, Poison Attacks, Scout, Sniper, Strider, Stubborn, Swift Stride, or Vanguard. They also have a Motley Crew, and not like Home Sweet Home Motley Crew. Models in the unit of Man-Eaters are armed with different variety of weapons. When removing casualties, you must choose a model to remove from the rear ranks. You take out wounds to different models or randomized attacks. Yeah, blah, blah. Okay, we have the I'm Not Sure Of unit. This is the Morn Fang Cavalry. These are ogres riding bear saber-tooth things. Rhinoxes, bears, whatever. The ogres themselves are regular stats. The Morn Fang has movement 8, 3 weapon skill, 5 strength, 4 toughness, 3 wounds, 2 initiative, 4 attacks, and 5 leadership. They inflict D3 impact hits automatically rather than having an actual roll, in here. So each Morn Fang is doing D3. They got thick skin. It gives the rider on top a +2 bonus for the armor save. So we'll get to my thoughts on those in a bit. We have Gorgers, which I'm going to worry about. Them and Yetis, they have received a little bit of point decrease, but not too big. We have Giants, which are pretty much the same Giants anyone else can have. We have Nobblers. This gives the Ogre Kingdom players who actually had Ogre Kingdom armies before, who had a bunch of Nobblers, to field them in a unit. Piss Poor unit. They don't cause panic within Ogres, and you can upgrade to Nobbler Trappers, and this gives them a ranged shot. Doesn't matter. We have Nobbler's Grant Launcher, pretty much the same. And we have Iron Blaster. This is new goodie for the Ogre Kingdoms. This is a giant cannon strapped to the back of a Rhinox shot by a crazy ogre. It's got armor, chariot, save a 4+, fear, large target, cannon of the Sky Titans. Shoots as same way as normal cannon using the profile. It's a range 36, strength 10, multiple wounds D6. It's got massive grape shot, which is grape shot fired by the cannon in the Sky Titans, and has a strength of 10. It's got move and fire and volley of cannonballs. When rolling to determine the bounce distance for a cannon of the Sky Titans, roll the artillery dice twice and use the highest roll. The cannonballs will fail to bounce only if both dice roll a misfire. So it'll always bounce. So that's pretty cool. We got the new goodie. We got the Stonehorn, which is you can run them one of two ways. You can run them as a mount for a hunter, or you could run them as a rare choice. He's pretty handy. I'm just trying to incorporate using him in an army and two Thunder Tusks, and I'll explain myself on a Thunder Tusk when I get to the points and all that, and my thoughts of the army in a little bit. Let's see, Stonehorn. It's a movement 7, weapon skill 3, noble discus kill, strength toughness wounds 6, 2 initiative, 5 attacks, 5 leadership. He's got the Beast Rider. They remove at the same time unless it's a hunter. It's got the Earth-Shattering Charge. If the Stonehorn makes a successful charge, he inflicts 3d6 impact hits instead of making his normal close combat attacks. In addition, if calculating charge range to make totaling 10 or more, then 1 is added to each die roll for a total of 3d3 plus 3 impact hits. This does not prevent the Stonehorn from using its Thunder Stomp later in the same turn. So that's pretty cool. It's a hunting beast. So it shows you how to take it out if you got a hunter on there, if you're going to shoot at it. It's got natural armor, 4+, and a stone skeleton. You cannot do, if attack with multiple wounds, special rule, successfully wounds the Stonehorn, have the numbers rounding up. So it's a little bit more resilient to the multiple attacks. Next up, I think, is the bread and butter of the new Ogre rules, is the Thunder Tusks. Movement 6, 3 weapon skill, 6 strength, 6 toughness, 6 wounds, 2 initiative, 4 attacks, 5 leadership. Comes with 2 Beast Riders, natural armor 5+, numbing chill. We'll get to that. That's my favorite. Smooth ride. It ignores 2 hit modifiers for moving and shooting. It's got Spirit of the Frost-Weathered Ice. This is a giant beast ridden by 2 ogres with a range 6 to 24 inch blast template of strength 3, 6 under the template, causing D3 wounds. And if you roll a misfire, you just don't shoot that turn. Not too bad. My favorite thing though, numbing chill. Any enemy model within 6 inches of Thunder Tusk has always strike last special rule. Nice, nice. We'll get to my little thing a little bit. We have the special characters. We have Grecious Goldtooth. Never liked him. Goldfag Maneater. He looks pretty cool. I'm not going to really use him unless I use him as a general Maneater, because why not? We got Brag the Gutsman. He's pretty cool. I never use him as who he is, just because he's too expensive for an ogre running around with no armor. And his special ability only happens in challenges. And Scrag the Slaughterer, which, he's pretty expensive. You could do the same, if not more, with that's it with the special characters. We have the Lore of the Great Maw. They, as always, I think the Games Workshop's been doing pretty good with the revisions of the magic for the new 8th edition army books. The lore attribute is Blood Gruel. Let's see. Lore of the Great Maw has many recipes for disasters, blah, blah, blah. You roll immediately a d6 after resolving the effects of a successful cast. When you roll 2d6, 2 through 6, the wizard casts a spell, recovers one lost wound, up to his maximum number of wounds, and has +1 in total spell roll. And a roll of 1, the wizard cannot cast spells and suffers a strength 6 hit. The Great Maw giveth, the Great Maw taketh away. Signature spell is Spine Marrow. This is an augment spell with a range of 12. The target unit has stubborn special rule until the start of the caster's next magic phase. The caster can increase the range to 24, and they'll take it from a 6 to a 9 plus casting. Now we're going to get on to the regular maul spells. We have the Bone Crusher and Magic Missile, range 18, 2d6, strength 2 hits with no armor saves allowed. The caster can choose to increase the range of the spell. If so, the casting value is 11. We have the Bull Gorger. It's an augment spell, range of 12 inches. The target has a plus 1 strength to end of the caster's next magic phase. The caster can choose to target all friendly units within 12, and it'll take the casting cost from a 7 to a 14, and that will affect all friendly units within 12 inches. We have a Toothcracker being cast on an 8 plus. Again, another augment spell with a range of 12. The model has a plus 1 toughness to start a next caster's magic phase. You can target all friendly units within 12 on the 16 plus. We have a Brain Nobbler or Brain Gobbler casting a 9 plus. It's a hex spell with a range of 18. The target must make a panic test. The units are immune to psychology, cannot be targeted without a spell. The caster may choose to increase the range of spell to 36 inches for 12 plus. So I guess it's just known you can force a panic test. Unfortunately, most things which I see with this army, you're going to have the lowest leadership. So playing another Ogre Kingdom army seems to be pretty cool. We have Troll Guts, casting a 12 plus. Augment spell as well, range of 12. Unit has a regeneration special rule to the start of a caster's next magic phase. He can choose all target friendly units from 12 and increase to 20 plus on your dice. Let's see, we have the Maul, cast on a 15. This is a direct damage spell. You place a small round template anywhere within 18 inches of the caster. You roll the artillery dice and scatter dice. Unless a hit is rolled, move the template distance shown on the artillery dice in the direction shown on the scatter dice. There's a lot of wording for a spell, so bear with me here. If a misfire is rolled, the opponent player picks up the template and repositions it anywhere on the battlefield. The artillery dice and scatter dice are then rolled again to see if the template scatters to a new target point. Reroll any misfires until you keep going back and forth placing this template, basically, until no misfires are rolled. Once the final position is placed, all models under the template must take an initiative test. Models that pass this test suffer a strength 3 hit from the Maul's sharp teeth as they scrabble clear. Models that fail are savaged by the Maul and suffer a strength 6 hits with multiple 7 and with multiple d6 wounds. Then the goes away. The caster can choose to use the large template if you roll a 21 plus. Pretty damn sweet spell. Pretty effective. Unfortunately, if you roll a misfire and you're placing somebody and you go for the big spell, you get the whole irresistible force. You know, and your wizard's not going to take too much damage because, you know, with multiple wounds and everything, it's not high. Hopefully, you do good. But it could go back and forth, and you could really, really end up screwing up one of your own units, especially. If you fail it, saying 7th hit with multiple wounds, you can start taking apart your own ogres in the bad way. After the lore of the Great Maul, we have big names of the ogres. I'm not going to go over them. They're little cute little things you put on your ogres and your tyrants and such to give them names and make them big names, be big ogre leaders. Some of the things that all benefit augmented stuff. They give you plus 1 toughness, movement, profile. Reroll failed wounds from impact hits, stuff like that. We have Tools of Destruction. These are the ogre weapons. Not too much. It's only 2 pages and on magic items. We're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ogres are really going to benefit probably not too much from using these. The Thunder Mace is pretty cool, running at 85 points. It's pretty much what it did before. But the one I like to put out is the Dragonhide Banner. And the reason why I'm going to do this is I'm going to show you my idea, I think, to a successful Ogre Kingdom army. It's a magic standard, 50 points. Models in a unit with a Dragonhide Banner can reroll all to hit, 2 wounds, and saving throws of 1 when they make a successful charge. In addition, the bearer of the unit can use its magic to unleash an icy blast. This is a strength 3 breath weapon. We're not looking to do actual real harm with this, because this is where magic happens, no pun intended. A unit hit by the icy blast doesn't even need to wound. Has the always strike last special roll to end of the turn. And this is can be done pretty much every turn you charge. It doesn't happen once a game or nothing. So that's it for all the little goodies inside the Ogre Kingdom book. We got some great new pictures. And let's go ahead and talk about my experience with Ogre Kingdoms. Well, ogres, they haven't changed much. They're still looking from the same sculpt and everything as the old ones did from the last edition that we saw ogres. To get any man-eaters, Firebelly, special character, we have to do fine cast. So unfortunately, it makes running a ogre army, if you want a Firebelly, pretty expensive. I mean, literally, you are spending the amount that you would on a unit of 6 ogre bulls to buy one Firebelly. So it's kind of rough, or one man-eater, unless you already own some. Points are relatively... I don't usually go over points for special characters with Warhammer Fantasy, because a lot of people don't play special characters, are allowed to play special characters in a lot of events and stuff. Not like 40K, where you're usually always allowed to use one. So I don't really pay attention too much to characters. But we're looking at Tyrant at 210 points before any upgrades. The only downfall I see on a Tyrant is... you can only take 100 points of magic items or big names, so you can't combine. You don't get an extra. I feel like you should be able to have one big name. You pay the points, and you still get your 100 points, because they're not that devastating. Like I would say, the vampire counts bloodline power is a lot more devastating and game changing. You can't put this guy on a Stonehorn. You can't put this guy in a Morgfang. So that. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, your Ogre Tyrant being on foot, I guess it makes sense, but I would like to have the option. Slaughtermaster, I'm not even really worried too much about the Lore of the Great Maw, because I'll get to that. Let's see, a Bruiser. Of course, you're going to want to have a Bruiser. He's the only way you can have a Standard Bearer, Army Standard Bearer. And, of course, you want one, so you can reroll the pathetic leadership of, if you're running an army with a Bruiser of 8, or a Tyrant of 9, or... If you just need that reroll for a unit that happens to be when the general's within the army standard and you need it, I mean, we're looking at relatively a leadership 7 for the ogres. Another thing that's bad about the Bruiser, he can't be placed on the Morphang, or he can't be placed on a Thunder Tusk or Stonehorn. This would have been nicer, especially for the Bruiser, more so than the Tyrant, I believe. To actually allow a more general sight advantage to see the army standard bearer to get your rerolls. So I think I would have liked to have seen that change to have your leaders be able to ride these things. I get it where you maybe don't want it to have you take away the hunter's thing about having them be on the Stonehorn. I get it, but at least a Morphin cavalry. Just get them up there a little bit so the rest of your army could claim sight from it. The Firebelly, he's great, 120 points, and you can upgrade him for 35 points to make him a level 2. That's about it. I mean, I would definitely... I'm running a Firebelly. I like the model, I like the rules. Core units, 30 points for my model for Ogre. Kind of steep, 43 for Iron Guts, even steeper. And you're just getting a little bit better leadership and heavy armor. I mean, I'm running them only because I have a unit of 6. I might as well. I'm going to put my Tyrant and my Army Standard Bearer in it. Not running any Knobblers. I don't think it's really worth it. Of course, I got 4 Lead Belchers at 43 points a model. I see no bad in this unit. The only thing bad about it is their price. I'd like to have more with all the new goodies that the Ogre Kingdoms have. Man-Eaters, I am the... Baiting. I'm probably going to run Man-Eaters. I'll get to my final thoughts on that in a few. Saber Tuskbacks, 20.1 points a model. Not worth it. Yetis, 44 points a model. Unless you already have them. Or you're going real themed caveman ice theme for your army. I don't know. Morphin Cavalry, 60 points per model. Pass them. I'll get to that in a minute. Gorger, 90 points. Not worth it. Nobbler Scrap Launcher. It's worth it if you want to run artillery. Same with Iron Blaster. I'm not going to. I want to do a artillery-less army. No, except for Lead Belchers. I guess they're artillery because they're fucking hauling around cannons. But the Giant, I love to run them, but I'm not going to worry about it. Stonehorn, pretty good. Might actually fit them in to see if I'm going to... I might forego the Army Standard Bearer, but I got to try and work out points for my hero selection to have a Hunter, Stonehorn, and Firebelly. I'm running Firebelly, damn it. So, I want to run one, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Thunder Tusks, take two. Simple as that. Play longer enough games, worth 500 points. I mean, there is no upgrades. There is no upgrade for this unit. 250 points. There is no reason not to run two Thunder Tusks. Unless you're poor and you really can't afford it, but then just go out to the toy store, buy some old, buy some big elephant models or something to put them on the large base. This is what I'm doing. My army has a tyrant. The tyrant's going to be in the lead belt, not the lead belchers, the iron guts. I'm going to have a unit of 4 lead belchers, a unit of 8 ogre bulls with double hand weapons, unit of 6, and then a unit 8 ogre bulls with the shield fist thing, because that's how they came to me. 2 Thunder Tusks, Army Standard, a Bruiser Standard Bearer, and yeah, that's about it. So that's so much what I got for points. And on my Army Standard Bearer, I'm taking Dragon Eye Banner. Now, looking through the book, Ogres have a low initiative. And the problem is, you don't want to spend 30 points to 44, 46 points, especially with the freaking Man-Eaters rounding up at 50 points before you even put anything. You don't want these guys going last. You can't have that. I mean, impact hits are not going to save your ass. They're going to be nice, they're going to do it, but they're not going to make or break it. They're going to strike you before you strike them. And sure, they're running up, but they only have toughness 4. I mean, that's not a huge... It's not a huge toughness to have an ogre. I would like to see an army-wide toughness 5 for the point cost. But we're looking at a toughness 4. So it's essential, in my opinion, to have 2 Thunder Tusks. I mean, we come in and we got Thunder Tusks. They're moving at movement 6. That's the same as the ogres. It's essential that you keep your Thunder Tusks and your ogres in coherency. And this is the reason why I'll pass on the Saber Tusk path and also the Morphin Cavalry. Morphin Cavalry only move 2 more inches. You can't have any heroes in there like you can with a unit of Iron Guts or something. You're going to get too far ahead. There is no pincher move for the ogres. The Ogre Kingdom Army is basically a march forward, destroy your enemy, wheel the whole army, or split it off in 2 sections. Basically, each one divides around the Thunder Tusk. And the reason I say that is Thunder Tusk will allow you a moving template weapon. Also, it'll give the enemy an always strike last. And you need that. I mean, come on. You're going to rush in with a 2 initiative, or 4 initiative, or 2 or 3. I mean, these are just the initiative scores. Everything's going to strike before you. And it's not going to be a good day. So that's why I picked up Thunder Tusk. I'm using heavily the whole always strike last special rule. Second of all, theme. I'm going with the Thunder Tusk heavy because I've already painted up my lead belchers with flames going up their arms. Now, I did this for my Dogs of War army, which, unfortunately, with the Ogre Kingdom army, they bastardized Dogs of War by not making them options for a Dogs of War army. So it makes me wonder why Games Workshop loves to give up on armies, but people are used to it. This is not a new rant. So my lead belchers already had fire tattoos on them. I love the freaking Firebelly. I'm not lying. It's a pretty cool model. It's kind of like a... I don't know. I've heard Voodoo Witch Doctor and stuff like that. Spewing out fire. Nice little theme. The stories they do give you about the Great Maul, the Warpstone Comet, and the volcanoes the Ogre worships, it leads easily into fire and ice-based army. Well, the Thunder Tusk have the ice special rules, and I've already started on the fire base with the lead belchers. So my army is going to be a pirate-based fire and ice army, caveman-type pirate. Reason I went with that, I have only one Ogre Man-Eater. I don't know if I'm using him for my tyrant or not, but he's the pirate one. I was going to use him as a placement filler for my Dogs of War long-drawn Slayer Pirates. So I'm going to have a pirate kind of themed Ogre Kingdom army. I don't know. Fire and ice. That's what I'm going with. Now, make the whole thing work, even solidify even more, my standard bearer is going to have the Dragonhide banner on it to allow whoever he shoots to always strike last, just in case I'm outside of the range with that key core Ogre unit outside the range of a Thunder Tusk. You know, because your army's going to split in two. It could even go three. You got your hard-hitting, I would say, Death Star unit that you can put your standard bearer in, your tyrant. You have no option. You have them run around independently on their own. But you have no option. You can't have them on any type of beast. You can't have them on any type of flyer. You can't have them on any type of cavalry. So he's got to be on foot with the Ogre Kingdom army. So stay away from the faster moving stuff. It's not the extra 2 inches or the 3d6 added to the charge is not going to actually do you much. Reason why I say give up on the Morphin Cavalry is their 60 points model. They actually double the points of a Ogre Bull. So you look at it, and the Ogre Bull is going to have the same stats, but you look at the Morphin Cavalry, the only thing he's got going around that outside of the Ogre Bull is a 5 strength. And you can be doing D3 impact hits. Now, if you take a unit of, you take 3 Morphin Cavalry, we're not going to put any upgrades on them. That's going to run you 180. They're going to be coming in doing D3 apiece, so you could do anywhere from 3 to 9 impact hits. Then you're looking at a total of 7 attacks, 7 times 3, 21 attacks. Now, not bad. Seems nice. You want to have them. I'm not gonna doubt them. I'm thinking about picking them out just for larger games so I can say I have a unit because I liked old Rhinox riders that Forge World did. And these guys are remnants of that a little bit. Now, you take the 6 Ogres. You can give them an extra hand weapon, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to go straight with no upgrades. You're going to get 3 attacks apiece. So 6 Ogres are going to get a total of 3 times, 18. 18. Shine a little bit way in attacks. You're going to get a rank bonus. You don't get that with the Morphin Cavalry. So right there, you got the rank bonus. Second of all, you get a stomp with a Morphang. You get a stomp with Ogres. So you're not losing anything there. With Ogres, if you roll 10 or higher, you get a D3 impact hits. So you match the Morphang, but you don't get the second rank. I think points per points, if you have the Ogres, it's much more sound device to actually run the regular Ogres than the Morphang Cavalry. Now, for a little bit more, what I do recommend is unit 3 Man-Eaters. If you got a choice between Man-Eaters and Morphang, always take the Man-Eaters. Stay on foot with a lot of your stuff. Your beasts are going to be crazy. I mean, the Stonehorn, you're going to want to run him out. I mean, simple as that, but you got to be careful. Don't get anything. This army, really, the key to this army isn't just the impact hits, the stomps, I guess, higher toughness. It's not really that higher, but it's the solidity of these units. This book basically comes through and says, hey, this is a hammer and anvil army, you know, but really it's anvil. You need to keep your anvil one place, and the hammer is that charge. You know, you're going to try and get in there, you obliterate your unit on your enemy as best as you can with a slow but methodical march forward. Watch out for your sides. You're going to have small unit size. They're going to try and get you from the sides. Use your Thunder Tusks on both ends. You know, doing that range attack. Fear is not going to be that big of a deal. I mean, I think they really messed over fear. I don't know how I feel about it. I think they screwed it up. So, I don't know. Let's see. And plus, the Thunder Husk causes terror. So that's pretty nice, too. So, I mean, that's basically it, what we got for the Ogre Kingdom book. And my thoughts about not using Morphin Cavalry or Saber Tusk, keeping all solidified. I think two Thunder Tusks is a great idea. Unfortunately, I see in the future, the stupid comp systems and stuff might say, oh, you can only use one, but, you know, screw that. Have fun with the game, that's what I say. And this book actually leads for a nice theme. Ogres are easy to paint, they're easy to make look barbaric and caveman type. And they got some nice looking models, nice toys in this book. I say go with it. So that's my review of the Ogre Kingdoms. I recommend it. I do think that they could have gotten away with this and did a White Dwarf army book, kind of like the Sisters of Battle. It is what it is. I'm just glad they didn't pitch them by the wayside like they did with Chaos Dwarfs and Doug's War. So we're going to end it there and take a break for a moment. We'll come back with a new segment that I'm calling Once Upon a Time in Malifaux. And this goes out to Damian Smith. This is your segment that he had given me the idea. He hopefully had received his prizes I gave him for the great idea. And this will be an ongoing section, Once Upon a Time in Malifaux. And I'll be going over 1 to 2, and possibly 1. It's really hard not to get sucked in sometimes if you want to go with a theme, because there's a couple figures or units in the Malifaux rule books that can basically go to two different, you know, go to one theme, you know, a couple. So I'm going to try and just save it to 1. And these would be overlooked or not talked about much, minions and henchmen and stuff in the Malifaux world. So up next we have Once Upon a Time in Malifaux. Congratulations, Damian Smith. And this week's segment will be a...
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Hey, I'm Luke.
And I'm JJ.
And we're the guys from World's End Radio. When we're not playing games
or lying to our wives about it,
then we're going to the ends of the earth to bring you the latest content on all aspects of the Games Workshop hobby.
And a few other worlds besides.
So come find us at www.worldsendradio.com.
Or subscribe to the show through iTunes.
Of guest host at the imperialtruth.blogspot.com.
I can hear what you're thinking, all your doubts and fear. And if you look in my eyes in time, you'll find reason I'm here. And in time all things shall pass away. In time you may come back someday.
Okay, first up for the, you know, the new segment, we have the Gunsmith. He comes from us, comes to us from the Rising Powers supplement. He is an Arcanist model. Special Forces MNSU asset. He's running around on a 30mm base with a soulstone cost of 6. He has a walk of 5, a charge of 5. I mean, a walk of 5, a charge of 6. He's height 2 with a willpower 4, casting of a 5, defense 4, which I wish it was a little bit better, and 7 wounds. He's got, for his weapon, he's got the custom pistol, range of 10, CB of 5 with a tome, damage of 1, 3, 4. Not too shabby. Let's see, for talents, he has concealed weapons, and this gives models targeting this unit must win a weapon willpower duel of 13 to target this model with ranged strikes or ranged spells until it takes a strike action or a ranged action spell. He's got duty. This means that this model's controller cannot be changed, so that we don't have to worry about anyone obeying or anything like that. He's got gunfighter, custom pistol. He's got hard to kill, intimidating. This model is terrifying 12 to height 1 insignificant, harmless, and pitiful models. Nice to have him. That's pretty handy. We'll get all that. He's got Smoldering Heart. When declared the target of a duel, this model may suffer 1 wound to receive +3 willpower until the start of, until that duel is resolved. So nice little boost in case you need it, or you got somebody who's running around with Insidious Madness and doing the whole willpower thing. You want a little bump. It might save it a little bit. It's very circumstantial. For weapons, he has a custom pistol. It is paired, so that's pretty cool. He receives the flips. At the start of this model's activation, you can choose one of the following effects for each strike made by the weapon. So this is pretty cool. This guy here, he's basically an all-in-out gunslinging mercenary. I like the model. I liked it since the Rising Powers book came out. I thought he had great potential. Probably, in my opinion, I'll take him over top of a convict gunslinger most of the times. But these custom pistol, you can grant armor piercing, which means you're ignoring the armor, so that's pretty good against Hoffman crews and Ramos. He's got explosive shells, custom pistol damage flips become 1, 2 with a blast, or 3 with a blast, and damage flips against living targets receive a +1. That's with the explosive. That's not bad at all. So, and you got a little bit of problem running around with some, let's say rats. Hamlin's crew with the rats. I mean, he's going to pop some rats from a distance if you need to. He's got silver ammunition that gives him damage flips against undead, receive a +1. He's got wooden ammunition, which damage flips against Neverborn targets, receive a +. For his actions, he's got a zero action called the Hard Way. This action may only be taken once when this model has suffered 1 or more wounds. This model's melee and range attacks receive a ++, double flip. Nice little synergy with the Smoldering Heart. He's not taking a lot of damage. You want some damage to receive a double plus on top of everything. There you go. For triggers, he's got, for 2 tomes, he's got experimental custom pistol. And this is pretty cool because it changes the weapon's damage from 2, 4, 6. Pretty significant for a ranged attack, in my opinion. And for spells, he's only got 1. It takes up 2 actions. So with a gunfighter, allow him to shoot, 2 actions, bam, he can do the spells. Leadstorm. Casting cost is 14. So he's going to need a 9. He's got the resist of the spell is your defense. The range is a 6 aura, and it's going to damage 4 around in that aura. So he's got, it's called, Leadstorm. He's like, ooh, bust it out. Reason why I decided to choose this guy with a new section, he's pretty versatile. He's Special Forces, so you can take him with a lot of other places and other crews. I plan on using them with my Colette to fill in the gap of range and also against different crews where I might need them, especially against, Neverborn, because, if you against the right Neverborn crew, he could be deadly. And the Neverborn crew can be quite deadly to you, so a nice ranged attack. Never heard anything. He's a pretty damn spiffy model. He comes out this month, I believe, and as well, there's a female version as well coming out. So, it leads into a nice little talk, a nice little topic to pick this guy first. So, we can go with everything on this guy. He's got good range. He's got a little bit of survivability, where until you're in range to actually do anything with your guns. He's got concealed weapons, giving a willpower duel, somebody against him 13, so maybe he won't get shot up as fast. It's nice that he can't be changed, hit back and forth in game, so you don't have to worry about this guy working against you. Hard to kill is always nice. The intimidating, with a 12 to the height 1, insignificant, harmless, and pitiful models is pretty nice. There's a lot flowing around, and having someone in your crew that can specifically maneuver around those types of road bumps or roadblocks or speed bumps, what you might call it, is pretty handy. The custom pistol allows you to tailor your playstyle within game, and that's important because a lot of times you have to tailor your playstyle before the game, and you gotta say, you can do this, this, this. This guy here, you can in-game, what the situation arises, he's got a ranged combat ability for it. Come on, let's talk about the hard way. Plus 2 flips on everything, and the trigger being an experimental custom pistol, and all he needs is a tome on the attack. Lead Storm's not that bad. You get a whole bunch of people that think they're going to sit there and beat on him in melee, so he can, pop it out and stuff. I think it's a pretty valuable piece. I don't think he's 100% better than a Convict Gunslinger, but I do think he definitely fills a different niche and a role. So, definitely, anybody playing Anarchist out there, he's a good addition without paying any extra soul stones to, get a higher gun into your crew. And he's a pretty damn sweet little model. So, today, that's it. That's what we're going over with a little bit of a, the Once Upon a Time in Malifaux segment. And this is an idea from, a listener, just like you guys. And if you got any questions or you got any ideas you want to throw out, you can send them to SeanHammer, the number 9 at yahoo.com. I hope you enjoyed this. If you want to add any bit of a little information or little tidbits that I can do, we'll go ahead and send them to me. I'll try and incorporate those into the, little Malifaux mini segments that I'm going to put. Anything you want to hear on Sean Hammer Podcast, you go ahead and just send them to me. Don't forget to leave me iTunes review. You follow me on Twitter. Also, that's about it. And let's see. What will we be covering next time? I have no clue. It's too far in advance to actually think about it. I really just go with these things at bits at a time. So if you have any ideas that you want to hear, you have any topics you want to hear on Sean Hammer, send them to me. Be more than willing to go through them and give you my opinion on air and give you, that the populace hear them. So hopefully you enjoyed. And if you think I could have done better on this, please let me know. Hope you enjoyed the song. That was by, that was off the Punisher soundtrack. I thought it fit pretty well with the gunsmith. I really like it. It's my favorite part in the movie. So, I went with it. Anyway, that's it for now, and hopefully everyone's having fun, and, playing good. Until next time, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
I can hear what you're thinking, all your doubts and fear. And if you look in my eyes in time, you'll find the reason I'm here. And in time all things shall pass away. In time you may come back someday to live once more or die once more. But in time, your time will be no more. You know your days are numbered. Count them one by one. Like notches in the handle of an outlaw's gun. You can outrun the devil if you try, but you will never outrun the hands of time. In time there'll surely come a day. In time all things shall pass away. In time you may come back, some say, to live once more or die once more. But in time your time will be known.